Yes, yes, yes. Yes, we're live, people. Yes, we are live. I am JT, and Mac is back, and this is No Chaser. Number to call is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220. If you have the guts to call in, that's the number you dial. But without further ado, long-awaited return, Mr. Mac Williams, the host of the show, is back.
Hey, everybody, what's going on? This is your man, Mac Williams, back on the radio after a well-deserved vacation. A lot of changes in my life, things I had to go through and do and take care of, and I am back on the radio. And, yes, I did miss it, and I'm glad I took the time off because I realized how much I missed it. You know, Facebook is nice, but it ain't.
Hello? You there? Hello, Mac.
Let's go. Ain't no room for hesitation up in here. It's time to leave it on the field, because it's game time. It's time to make your hard work pay off. Make your mom and dad proud. Make your opponent...
Mac. Hello, Mac. Come on. Well, people, I know Mac's on the air. I can't hear him. Mac, do me a favor. If you can hear me, call back. Hang up and call back. You know what? I'm going to call you, Mac, because he started talking, and for some reason, I lost him. So I'm going to call Mac back and see what happens here. Let's do this. Let's make a phone call and see if I can get Mac back here. Hold on. Hey, Mac.
Yes, sir.
How you doing?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay.
What happened?
All right. I had technical difficulties. My phone line just for some reason just went off. But anyway, after a much deserved vacation, a lot of changes, a lot of things. You know, hey, just let y'all know it's live radio. This is what happens sometimes. Glad to be back on the air with my man JT. I miss JT. I miss talking to him. And I miss talking about certain issues and certain things with him, things that were on my mind. I'm just really glad to be back on the radio and glad to be able to express myself on my own show and put forth my own ideas, my own guests. It's nothing like having a voice. And, you know, I miss having that voice for a while, even though there were things I needed to take care of. So, How you been doing, Jerry?
Not bad. I can't complain, man. I mean, just like everybody else, try and live life the best way you can and try to do the right thing the best way you can. So, I mean, you know how it is. So we talked briefly before we came on the air, and you do what you got to do, plain and simple.
That's right. Absolutely. You got to do what you got to do. I was going to dig back into some subjects, but one of the things I do want to talk about is just real quick is us beating up on them Redskins. For all you Redskins fans that thought I wasn't going to do it, yeah, I did it. I lit y'all up on Sunday. And it was funny how many people hit me and was like, oh, you know, you should. I even had a friend of mine that hit me up talking about, you're supposed to treat them with the love of God. I'm like, what are you talking about? This has nothing to do with God. This
mm-hmm.
has to do with us putting a mud hole in them dudes and beating them in their own state. Which, by the way, we haven't beat them in 20 years or whatever it was.
Well, that's true.
Or whatever it was, since the beginning of the country or something like that. Look, we beat them, and that's about, actually, that's about our third straight win on them, actually. It just hasn't been at their house. Two of them at our house. We've beaten them the last couple of years.
Okay.
So, you know, just want to let all the Redskins fans know out there, y'all really thought, y'all looked at the schedule, you really, really thought, I know you did, deep down in your heart, you guys thought you had this one. Oh, that's a win right there. You thought you were going to have a win. Not the same old lines, bruh. Put a foot off in your butt and beat y'all at your house. Never count us as an easy win. Not as long as we have Matthew Stafford and we got the best wide receiver in the game. And wait till we get Bush healthy again. You already seen what he did. I don't know if you saw what he did, but I know you being a fantasy guy, I know you had to see what Bush did first day one.
Let me tell you something. I have Reggie Bush on a couple of my teams, and I'm trying to get on him on a couple of my other teams through trade. I had him targeted, and in fact, one of my analysis before the season started in fantasy that with Reggie Bush would be at least the number two fantasy running back before the season ended. So as long as he stays healthy, I absolutely love me some Reggie Bush, and we pick winners and losers. Who's going to win? Who's going to lose on Saturday on Vic's show? And quite naturally, you know, Vic is a Redskin fan, and Ricky is a Redskin fan, and also Macau is a Redskin fan. And out of the four of us, I was the only one to pick the Detroit Lions. So, because of what you said. The quarterback and the wide receiver. Doesn't have to be anybody else. And the fact is, Mac, even if Reggie Bush wasn't in there like he was in his past game, Joy Bell lit him up. So it was a very good game, and I enjoyed it, especially the outcome. And I do have a caller. I think I know who this is. Mac, I lost him.
Can you hear me now?
Caller from the 301. Welcome to the No Chaser Show. Anyway,
it's me.
Yeah,
you
I know who
me?
It is.
Oh,
I,
okay,
yeah,
okay.
I, what
okay,
happened?
No. I just want to make sure. That's all.
What's happening?
Huh?
You going back and forth to these different phone lines, man? You're
no,
confusing
I have
me
to
here.
Use my cell phone because no, look. The show I do is on my landline, but my landline,
right.
For whatever reason, either cord came out or something, and it got unhinged. So I called
right.
back because it wouldn't come back. It wouldn't clear the line. So I
right.
went to my cell phone and
right.
used that, and that's what I was just talking to you on, but I switched off of it. But I tried to do a smooth transition, but that didn't happen, so it doesn't
mm-hmm.
matter. Anyway, but, yeah, you know, I laid low for a while, man, and then, I laid low during the game, and you know I was real nice about it because I told everybody the week before, just so you don't think I did it on purpose. I told everybody the week before, I said, look, we may lose the game, and if we do, it won't be no pressure on us because everybody would have expected us to lose to the Redskins anyway. I said, but if we win, that's gonna hurt. And I told them, I said, I'm gonna run y'all up the pole. And I did, all Sunday. I told him, I said, if we win, I'm going to run y'all up the pole. I'm going to run y'all up the pole. Because
wow.
y'all, because, and then people sit up and talking about, you should be nice and all this, whatever this stuff. I told him, I said, let me tell you something. I said, if you know the Redskins fans I know, they wasn't saying nothing the whole game. I said, let them have won, and they would have lit my timeline up. I said,
oh, yeah.
The only reason why they ain't light me up is because I won. I said, and they were like, uh-uh. I said, so you can sit there and say whatever you want. I said, I'm going to get them while I can. Because trust me, when they want to get me, they're going to get me. Trust me, I'm gonna get all the enjoyment out of. I even put up a video replay. I don't know if you saw my Facebook, but I even put up a video replay of the doggone game with Calvin Johnson mic'd up the whole game. Some funny stuff for it.
Is that
but,
right? I didn't
yep.
see that one.
No, it's on my Facebook page. You look it on there. I put it on there. Calvin Johnson mic'd up. It's on YouTube. I posted it up there. I was laughing my butt off.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, and I just want to let everybody know. Also, I want to let everybody know that once again, Floyd Money Mayweather made it look easy, and he gonna keep making it look easy. And I know a lot of people didn't. A lot of people thought for sure, boy, this is the guy. Like, no, it's not the guy. You know, I just think people need to stop looking for the guy to beat him and enjoy what you're seeing, because it's only another 24 months and then he's done. He's finished. And, you know, he's going to fight May and September of next year, and then May and September of the next year, and then he's done. And I can tell you right now, there are four fights left. I don't see nobody out here now that can beat him. I just don't. And I think, like I said, Mayweather did his Picasso the other night. I heard a lot of criticism about, well, it was a boring fight, and, you know, we wasted our money. And, like, I mean, if you want to see blood and guts and people get their head knocked off, I mean, do what Victor does. Go with MMA.
Exactly.
But boxing is a beautiful sport, man. Ain't nothing more beautiful than to see a guy hit and guy get hit. And to see a guy be a not only a ring technician, but one of the best defensive fighters we've ever seen. You know, for as small as he is, and the guy is shorter than me, and if anybody see me in person, you know I'm pretty short. I'm 5'9". He's short. Mayweather is at least an inch shorter than me. And for him to beat a guy, to be beating these guys he's beating, and standing in the pocket, I'm talking about standing in the pocket in front of a dude and giving you 3 and 4 in the face at other angles and still not get hit, that's crazy. Like I've always said, Tiger Woods, Floyd Mayweather, what's her name, Serena Williams.
Mm-hmm.
These are people you're not going to see again. You need to enjoy them, because you will not see these kind of people again in our lifetime. I don't believe that. I don't believe you'll see another one like Tiger Woods. You'll never see a black man dominate golf. I think you'll never see it in our lifetime again. I don't think you'll ever see a black woman tennis player run women's tennis like Serena Williams has. And I don't think you'll ever see, you know, a boxer as good as Floyd Mayweather. You'll see him as far as excitement, but I don't think you'll see a boxer ever again go this long undefeated and doing it so easy. I mean, you know. And I guess what's amazing to me is that these guys are beating the guys that he's fighting are beating the mess out of other world champions on the way to Floyd. And then when they get into Floyd, you're thinking, like, man, it's going to be a tough fight. You know, okay, this guy going to really, you know, he going to put the press on him and this and this and that. And then
right.
when you see the fight, you're just sitting there like, are you serious? Like, really? Like, really? They really like that? Like, really? It's almost to the point, it's almost laughable to the point where you think it's like, is this a setup? Like, I'm waiting for somebody to come in and go, psych, this is just playing. Hey, everybody, you know, we just playing, man. We're going to show you the real fight. You know, seriously.
Well,
and
I just think
the other night, I think Mayweather, if you were a person who thought Mayweather was just getting by and picking easy fights and, you know, wasn't ducking everybody as they keep saying, I mean, this dude took on the number one pound for pound, a dude who's 42-0, who had been knocking dudes out. But see, I'm going to tell you, I told you, I don't know if you remember me telling you this, but I told you, he fought a 40-year-old Shane Mosley and couldn't knock him out. And I was like,
right.
Dude, if you can't knock him out, how you going to knock out a guy who's not going to stand, who's going to hit you from all kind of angles with tremendous hand speed and doesn't stand in front of you? You know, it's not going to happen. Like,
mm-hmm.
I said, it's not going to happen. I think Floyd's next fight, honestly, I'd like to see it, but I think he could beat Danny Garcia. I really think. I'm not saying he'll knock him out, but I think he could outpoint Danny Garcia. And Danny Garcia had a good night also.
Yeah, he did have a good night. I thought
he had a very good
was,
night, and I was shocked.
I, I was shocked too because I thought he would get a
thought Batista was going to knock his behind out. That's what I thought.
Yeah, I really thought that. I really thought that, and he was going to have a real tough battle. And it turned out it wasn't tough at all.
Nah.
In my opinion, he schooled him for the fight. So.
Oh yeah, he did. Oh, he did. But like I said, a lot of these boxers that we make that we shoot up and make great. Are guys that need they beat boxers that stand in front of them. If you don't stand in front of them and they can't hit you, they can't possibly beat you. And like I said, the only way Floyd Mayweather is going to get beat is he would have to lose his legs and couldn't move. Because that's pretty much the key to everything. But that defense is just ridiculous. I mean, giving you the side joint and tuck your chin in, I'm just like, this is crazy. You know, you wouldn't think it would work, but it does. And I just said, you know, he's got to be. I mean, if Floyd goes down 49-0, you have to call him the best ever. You have to, because Rocky Marciano's considered the best ever, and he retired at 49-0. I mean, you just don't do that. And I like I said, I mean, you know, somebody tried to tell me, you know, and I know people have this reverence for Muhammad Ali and. Don't get me wrong. Muhammad Ali is one of the greatest heavyweights ever. If you want to tell me greatest heavyweight, oh, yeah, most definitely. You talking about one of the greatest boxers, like, period, for pound, I have to go with Floyd Mayweather because he's the way he's doing it. He's not getting beat up. And he's not at 36 years old taking lumps. At 36 years old, if I recall right, correct me if I'm wrong, but Muhammad Ali was getting his head knocked. I mean, he was in some tough fights. He wasn't the same guy. You know, it is what it is, but like I said, man, we need, as black Americans, we need to pay attention to these people because these are people who are not going to be with us too much, you know, too long. And when they're gone, we're not going to see it again. You know, I know the PGA is crying in their soup, man, because when Tiger's gone, it's a whole rack of us leaving.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you, I don't watch it till Tiger's playing.
Right.
I don't. If I don't. And I mean, I know how to watch it. And I know how to play it. But if I happen to care, I might check in. But there's nobody on tour. I would just check in and be like, okay, let me see. You know, even tennis. And I don't even watch tennis, but I watch Venus and Serena.
Yep.
But I don't think there'll never be. I don't think there will be. I think there will be other black women and top black women in tennis, but I don't think there'll be one dominant one like this.
Right.
Again,
there are some up and comers right now. That,
yeah.
Black women that are playing in tennis, but
right.
Nothing to the level of Venus, and definitely nothing to the level of Serena. So.
No, and that's why I said when they're gone, we will not. I think we won't appreciate them until they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
We just won't. The other thing I wanted to also talk about is. Let me see. You are a Houston Texans fan. What
yes,
is
sir.
You guys' record? And I'm not being funny. I'm really being that way because I'm checking in with you on your team. Because I know we're 2-1. You guys are
2-1.
Okay. Who do you guys play this Sunday?
We play the Seattle Seahawks this Sunday in Houston, and we got thoroughly thumped by the Baltimore Ravens last week. And
I could not believe that. Now I remember. I could not believe that.
I couldn't believe it either.
But
let me tell you something, Mac. Before the game was happened, I told my wife, I said, this game scares me. And she looked at me and said, why? I said, because I know this team. I know they can throw in a clunker real quick, and something tells me that's what may happen here. It's just I had a feeling in my gut that it's set up for them to throw in a clunker. Just seeing what happened in the first two games and them coming back on the road going into Baltimore to play that game, I just had a feeling that they wouldn't play well and they stunk up the place.
Yeah, and I didn't watch the game, but when I saw the score, I was like, holy cow.
Yeah.
I was just like, Jesus. I mean, I guess they got pissed off from being beat there because if I'm not mistaken, they had gotten beaten their first game, their last game, wasn't it? Did Baltimore get beat their last game? Was that the Denver game or somebody?
No, they played the Denver game. The first game of the season they played the Denver game. and they got blown out. Then the next game after that, they played Cleveland, which they hardly ever lose to Cleveland, and they beat Cleveland. And then they came home and played the Texans and beat the Texans. So.
Okay. And that's why I said, you know, it's – I don't know. I think this season's going to be pretty wild. This is going to be totally different. It's funny because I'm not counting anybody out except the Redskins. I do count them out. They're 0-3. Because if they can't, to be honest with you, they can't afford to lose too many more before they become like, okay, playoffs is it. You might as well just go and pack it in and play it out.
They're 0-3.
Right. I'm just saying, I'm not counting them out just yet. If they lose another one, yeah. But, you know, the team that, like I said, the team that I'm more or less, you know, right now, it's like everybody who's not supposed to be winning is winning. And all the teams that were the old standard, okay, these are the guys who are going to win, are not. I mean, whoever thought, I mean, you look at Cam Newton and them and what they did, even though they got their head, they came back. I definitely ain't putting nothing past the Steelers. Everybody keep trying to say something. I'm like, man, I don't put nothing past the Steelers. I done seen their work too many times. They look like they stink, and then they go on this improbable roll, and next thing you know, boom, they're in there. They're in the playoffs. And you're like, how the hell did they get here? You know, I thought we left them back, you know, at 0-1 whatever. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But the football, you know, I think it's a great year. I think it's going to be a good year for fantasy players. It looks like it's a lot of scoring, a lot of other stuff, you know. Calvin Johnson's off to a start, which I didn't think he's going to get off to a fast start like this, but yeah.
Really?
And No, I didn't think so, only because, you know, everybody double teams him. You know, you know what I'm saying? It's always like, we got to play him. And the thing about it is there was no Reggie Bush. So I automatically thought, okay, the Redskins go out there and they're going to double team this dude. They're not going to let him get one-on-one. And they did. And I was just really shocked, like, y'all going to keep letting this dude go out here one-on-one on D'Angelo Hall? Like, D'Angelo Hall's a midget. Like, yeah, don't get me wrong, you know, I can't stand D'Angelo Hall because he runs around his whole career trying to be like Deion Sanders, but he's not. But that's what he does. But, you know, I knew Megatron was going to get loose. When I saw the one-on-one, I was like, dude, you got to be drinking. You got to be drinking. You know, you got this dude out here one-on-one with anybody is a problem. I don't care who they are. You know? So I was glad. I was happy to see we got a tight end almost as tall as Calvin Johnson. I was like, Jesus, Fourier, the one who caught the one in the end zone. He's something else. He's a rookie, too. That's what's scary. So, you know, the football season looked like it's going to be a good season. Let's see what else I have to be happy for. I have to be happy for my Wolverines who had me pissed off and almost lost to what's that school? UConn pissed me off. Came back and won that. You know, I was glad we did that, but I'm not really feeling my Wolverines this year. I don't know. It's just like this and this black quarterback we got. I don't know about him. We won in spite of him, but I don't really like our chances this year. And our baseball team, Tigers, third year in a row we've won the Central, American League Central. I'm happy about that, but I don't want us to go in there and lay another egg like we did last year. We got all the way up in there and got swept. That was really pissy. So let's hope that, you know, my team's come up a little bit better and what have you. Other than that, the only other thing I do want to say something about, and it's probably going to be a little, well, I'm not, I shouldn't say it. I guess I'll say it's just politics. And all I can say is, one, you know, this fight, you know, I agree with this fight that they're putting up. Do I believe that it's going to work? No. Do I believe it's a waste of time? I don't think it's a waste of time. Do I believe they're gonna effectively defund and shut down Obamacare? Heck no. The only way you're gonna do that is you gotta turn the houses, and that won't happen until next year, if at all. So I'll just say, you know, I'm in favor of Obamacare being put out to pasture. It's just a mess. My wife is a nurse, and it's just too much going on with it. It's crazy. And when you got unions, you got Congress, And you got businesses, big businesses, and people with a lot of money that get waivers and opting out, and he's handing out waivers like his Tootsie Rolls. It's a bad thing. And it needs to either be fixed or at least it needs to be delayed and say, you know what, we ain't putting this in, and leave it where it is and fix it. Do I believe it can be fixed? No. But, you know, you can make some changes. You know, I'm pretty sure there's one or two good things in there. So I'll just say that. You know, that's I'll talk about that. The other thing is I had this thing come up, and I guess I want to say this in the right way. But I was having a discussion with one of my friends on Facebook, and we were discussing first about the Stand Your Ground law and the young lady, the black lady who got sentenced to 20 years, I guess. I don't know if you know about that one, for shooting in the air because she was threatened by her husband. She felt threatened by her husband, but she shot in the air instead of shooting at him or whatever, and she got 20 years, which I think was absolutely ridiculous and a miscarriage of justice, especially when Stand Your Ground was the law she was standing on. And the only thing I want to say about, you know, I kind of got on people about Facebook. I didn't know if you saw it or not. But I got on people about Facebook because they were celebrating the fact that she was getting a retrial, which I was fine with that. But my thing was, don't celebrate the Stand Your Ground thing. Some of the people, you know, comments were like, yeah, you know, Stand Your Ground finally works and this. And I was like, look, y'all the same people didn't like it because you didn't like the verdict. My problem is if you don't like a law, then stand your ground and say you don't like it. Don't change it when it works for you. If you don't, either you like it or you don't. And, again, it's my people. This is what we do. We get mad when it's the other guy or the other race, and then when it you know, it can help us, we're okay with it. And I just want people to stand up and say, you know what, if I ain't for it, I ain't for it. Now, do I believe Stand Your Ground is a good law? Sure. Do I believe it? And I actually went into a debate with somebody, and one of the things I told him was, that, you know, for us, black people use that law, the Stand Your Ground law, more than twice of whites and Hispanics in Florida. It works for us.
Let me ask you a question. Okay, you say they use it blacks use it more, or blacks or Hispanics. I guess you mean both of them use it
no,
more
whites
than
and Hispanics.
More than white and Hispanics, is that what you're telling me?
Mm-hmm.
And but even though they use it, does it hold up? That's the key. Even if they try to use it as a defense, does it hold up more for blacks versus whites or Hispanics or vice versa? That's the key.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, here's the thing. Why use a law if it's not working? And I'm not saying this, and that's the thing I have the article here, and that's what I'm looking for right now because I had it here yesterday.
When you say why use the law if it's not working, how many laws are on the books that people are using and it's not working? I can't specifically say any law, maybe except for this one. But how many laws are on the books? Whatever state you're talking about, whatever how stupid the law is, or whatever how racist the law is, because in a lot of southern states there's some laws directly at minorities that are still on the books, and they're slowly slowly coming off the books. But they're still on the books because they're directed specifically at minorities. So I think in Virginia, if I'm not mistaken, at one point it was against the law for a white and a black to marry.
Right.
If I'm not mistaken, and
I've heard that.
And it didn't come off the books until somewhere. I mean, I wouldn't say recently, but it was. Maybe what 20 years ago, maybe that, maybe not even that. So that's what I'm talking about. Laws on the books that don't make any sense, but people they're still enforced. So
right.
I understand what you're saying, but
right.
there's hundreds, if not thousands, across the country of laws that are still on the books, whatever how minuscule or however how minute that law is, that's still in the books that people pull out to use. And it, why is it on the books when it doesn't relate to present times? But it's still on the books because no one has done the due diligence to get rid of it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, here's part of the article. It says blacks benefit from stand your ground law at a disproportionate rate. African Americans benefit from Florida stand your ground self-defense law at a rate far out of proportion to the presence in the state's population, despite an assertion by the Attorney General Eric Holding that repealing the Stand Your Ground law would help African Americans. It says, nonetheless, prominent African Americans, including Holder, Ebony and Ivory, singer Wonder, who vowed not to perform in the Sunshine State until the law is revoked, all about the Trayvon Martin. But it said, the law was not involved in the Zimmerman's defensive team, which I think the liberal media didn't put out enough, didn't really spread enough, because people for some reason want to get rid of Stand Your Ground, yet it wasn't used in the Zimmerman case at all. They actually refused to use it, and they bypassed when they could have. My thing is, you know, all I'm saying is, but approximately one-third of Stand Your Ground claims in fatal cases have been made by black defendants, and they have used the defense successfully 55% of the time, at the same rates as the population at large, and at a higher rate than white defendants, according to this article. Analysis of the data maintained by the Tampa Bay Times. Additionally, the majority of victims in Florida Stand Your Ground cases have been white. African Americans use stand your ground defenses at nearly twice the rate of their presence in the Florida population, which is listed at 16.6% in 2012. That doesn't count now, of course. And also in the same article, it says 133 people in the state of Florida have used a stand your ground defense. Of these claims, 73 were considered justified, 55%, while 39 resulted in criminal convictions and 21 cases are still pending. 44 African Americans in the state of Florida have claimed a stand your ground defense. Of those claims, 24 were considered justified, 55%, while 11 resulted in convictions and 9 cases are still pending. Of 76 white people who have used the defense, 40 were considered justified, less than 53%, which is no big deal. 55, 53 is not a big disparity, I'll admit to that. While
right.
25 were convicted and 11 cases are still pending. 10 Hispanics have used the defense, 7 of them successfully, according to the database, which included defendant George Zimmerman as a stand your ground defendant. Florida stand your ground cases have resulted in 78 white victims against 40 have resulted in 78 white victims against 40 black victims, including Martin and 10 Hispanic victims. For a defensive attorney, stand your ground is an excellent tool. Even if your client is found legal, is not found legal under your stand your ground, it helps to flesh out the issues as the case proceeds to trial. It's an opportunity to push forward with that position, while also forcing the state to show their hand, says defensive attorney Chuck Hobbs, whose 20-year-old African-American client Earl Jackson was found not guilty of murder but was convicted of a lesser charge after a 2009 gang shootout in a Tallahassee parking lot that left an innocent bystander dead. The 19-year-old African-American Tony Hayward of Palm Beach also benefited from the Stand Your Ground defense when he was acquitted in the shooting death of 22-year-old Jyron Miles. Besides the shooter's word and a grainy surveillance video, jurors had little to go on while deciding if Tony Hayward was defending his life when he got shot and killed by Jyron Miles, 22. Hayward, then 19, and his father were delivering newspaper when Miles appeared at about 3 a.m., according to newspaper reports. They say Miles aggressively demanded, "Is you straight?" a phrase sometimes used to see if someone has drugs. According to the Tampa Bay Times database, The father and son said Miles then reached for what they thought was a gun, so the teen fired. The video did not show whether Miles had a gun, but police did not find one when they arrived. At the second trial in early 2011, Hayward was acquitted. The public defender argued that Hayward was standing his ground during the confrontation. The best-known African-American associated with Florida's Stand Your Ground law is Marissa Alexander, the girl who got the second trial, who was prevented from invoking the law after she was prevented from invoking the law after firing a warning shot to protect herself from her abusive ex-husband. Alexander, who had no prior criminal record, was sentenced to 20 years in prison, and her case has become an important cause for the supporters of the law. Alexander was prosecuted by Angela Corey, the same state attorney who lost the Zimmerman case. So there's a little tidbit. Those are some tidbits for you, you know, that I'm putting forth. Now that's not to say that here's my point. Just so you understand where I'm coming from. Where I'm coming from is this. I think it is absolutely stupid for us to get rid of a law or to say we're getting rid of a law when, number one, the reason why we're getting rid of the law is because we don't like the result of a case that didn't even have Stand Your Ground as a defense in it. Then, without also researching and looking and finding out that, guess what? We use it more than the other ones do, and we're successful in it, and at the same time, in this day and age, and this is a personal point, in this day and age, when we're killing and shooting each other, I'm talking about each other, and we're being dangerous and fearing each other, we should have a law like that. Because I don't care what nobody says. When I was growing up, I mean, I know people that would do stuff like that. They'd come on your property and just do what, I mean, you know, in the city, you had to do what you had to do. And I don't remember having no Stand Your Ground law where I could sit and defend myself and defend myself on my property and do what I had to do. So I guess what I'm trying to say is, for me, I think it's ignorant, which, of course, black people don't like that word, ignorant, because somehow they associate it with being stupid, but it's not. It's really meaning devoid of knowledge, just devoid of knowledge about something. Mm-hmm. But I think it's stupid for us to go out and rail against a law that we use more than the other races in the state, and we're successful with it, and with the rate, we're talking about black on black. Like what I just described to you was a black on black. So my thing is, we need to have that law so we can stand our ground instead of, okay, I can't shoot him because if I shoot him, I'm going to jail. You know, if you don't have the, because I'm saying, if you don't have that law, then what do you have? You pretty much just do what you got to do in Florida. You're like everybody else. In Maryland, I can't do that. I don't know if you can do that where you at and defend your property, and then you don't have that law. So all I'm saying is I'm giving food for thought and saying, if you want to say you don't like it, at least know the whole everything about it, and then come back and say, okay, it's not that. But with what I just read to you, if that was reported, which is not reported by the liberal media, and you know, the people who are pro Jackson, Sharpton, and like Obama, they're not going to report that because they want to make this about how unfair it was. You know, my thing is I'm going to be honest with you. I would love to have that kind of law where I can stand outside my house and if some angry knucklehead Negro comes up and start acting stupid, I can do what I got to do. I'm on my property. At this point, I can take care of myself. I'm standing my ground. And that don't even have to be on my property. I could be at a restaurant. I could be anywhere. I have a right to stand my ground and say, no, I'm not running. Otherwise, we can all go to running. You know, you might shoot somebody and hope that maybe it'll come out in court that, you know, you were defending yourself and they judge it that way instead of having a law that way. So the only thing I'm kind of saying is I want us as African Americans to revisit the Stand Your Ground law and look at it and really know what we're supposed to know about it before you make a decision. Because in this day and age, I tell you what, Chicago and all these other places where we're around here killing each other, that's the thing about it. It's not us. You know, it's not like we're going out killing white folks. We're killing each other more than we're killing anybody else. And we need a law like that to protect people, because everybody that we jumping on ain't a criminal and ain't asking for it. You know, so just food for thought, man. Just, and that's what I brought up. And I knew you think I was going to come up with something, you know, real inflammatory, but I wasn't. I just wanted to discuss with you and just put it out there that we need to start doing our research and stop letting the media dictate to us that,
well,
okay, this is what it is, this is what it's, because I'm not saying you, and I'm not saying, because I know you, you probably know a lot about it, you probably inform yourself on things, but I'm just saying, we got to learn when to pull away from the media and say, let me go search for myself, because I just think we're not, you know, we're not doing our due diligence, man. We're just jumping on the bandwagon, and we're being lazy. And let me say it this way. I think a lot of times in this day and age with technology and news cycles going around so fast and everything, I just think we get lazy, and we just feel like, you know what, I just go along with what they're saying. It's got to be true. They wouldn't be reporting it if it wasn't. And we just need to, you know, we just need to know what we need to know. And, you know, I'm interested in hearing your thoughts, but I mean,
well,
you know, that's where I am with it.
Well, the information you just gave me, I didn't know about. I'll be straight up with you. I did not know about it. And it's very informative. All the statistics, even though they're close from one
right.
For the majority of the African Americans and white,
mm-hmm. Not a big disparity.
It's still a substantial thing to know, because the fact is the majority of people that are using it are us, and it's over 50%.
Successfully.
That's what I'm saying, and over 50% of them are using it successfully. Now,
mm-hmm.
I have to agree with you for the simple fact is if you have a high profile case that's like the Zimmerman case, and then you protest about the law that supposedly he was standing behind, which he didn't. He didn't stand behind the Stand Your Ground law, which you're right.
Right. Remember, he had the hearing for it, and they
right.
turned it down. Him and his lawyer said,
right.
no, we ain't doing it.
Right. So you're right. People need to do their research to understand what is in reality really
right.
going on versus what you're hearing from the media, because it's a high-profile case and it's a hot-button issue, and everybody jumps on the bandwagon on one side or the other, and it's really on both sides that a
mm-hmm.
lot of people probably didn't know
mm-hmm.
about Stand Your Ground and who it was benefiting. It's just that the high-profile case, and people just assumed that he was using that as the reason why
as
he yeah. Yeah, but that's good to know. Like I said, I didn't know that the statistics that you gave me and the stuff that's in black and white is obvious. So, you know, in my opinion, I would want that law. Okay?
That was my whole thing because I don't blame us as much as I blame the media. And
mm-hmm.
what we need to start realizing as African Americans is that we need to stop letting the media dictate to us and feed us what they believe. In other words, I believe journalists and reporters have an agenda. And they're going to push an agenda. And for instance, I believe in having a gun. I believe in defending myself. You may believe that too.
No, I don't.
Okay,
I don't
maybe
believe,
you don't.
I don't believe. Let me put it this way. And I think I've told you this before. Growing up, when I had four sons, and all my sons growing up, and any present I ever gave them was not anything that was a shooting, something that was shot. A gun or anything. I've never given any of my kids a gun as a toy to play with. Never, ever. And I served in the military for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never, because I just don't believe it. I don't believe in guns. Maybe that's a contradiction in terms, but I don't believe in guns. So
I mean, and here's the thing. I don't put anybody down for that because, because again, we're in America, and that's a personal choice. And I don't put anybody down who doesn't want to do it. But here's my point. Whether you do or you don't, I do believe in people protecting themselves. How you want to protect yourself, that's on you.
Right.
You know, if you don't feel like you want to use a gun, you want to use mace, use mace. You want to use a stun gun, use a stun gun. If you want to use your fist, use your fist. I have no problem with that. I'm just saying, for me personally, I believe in the Second Amendment. I believe I should be able to use that. I'm pretty sure you should believe in the Second Amendment since you went out and defended it. But you don't use it personally, and that's fine. My problem, but I guess what I'm trying to say is, it's just like, for instance, there are people who are like you who don't believe in guns. But what they do is they work in the media. And so what they do is they want to push the agenda that guns are bad. We should get rid of all guns. We should have gun control. We shouldn't have no guns. We should get rid of them. I don't believe in them. Da, 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 da.
Before you go any further, you just said they don't believe in guns and they want to get rid of them. And they should have gun control. Well, gun control and getting rid of them is different.
Yeah, but I'm saying, let me say this. Getting rid of guns comes in under the guise of gun control, because I've heard the people who are advocates for gun control, and they're not trying to have it where, okay, well, you register this, you do that. They're trying to go further than that. For instance, welfare wasn't meant to be lived on, but you opened a slippery slope when you started first. At first, it was started to help poor people and help you get by just for a little while. And look what it's turned into years later. So all I'm trying to say, what I'm trying to say to you is that people have an agenda, and they come in under one guy and want to change things, and then it becomes something, and then it morphs into something else. So that's what I was trying to get to. So in other words, if a reporter or somebody's in the media, they take it upon themselves, I'm going to push this agenda. So I'm going to put the reporting together and do everything else, and I'm going to leave out all this part over here, and I'm going to push this agenda, because I want the people of America to hear this and get behind it and push it. But really, they don't care about you as the American people, the freedom of the press, and I should tell you everything and be honest with you and give you full disclosure and information. They hold information, or they twist and turn it, again, like Hitler with propaganda. You propaganda it, and then you push the agenda. And what I find is sometimes we, and I'm using this in the case of this what I just told you, this information I just told you, I'm saying they'll leave that out. They're not going to tell you that. You have to go find it, because they're not telling you that. But what do they always report? Stand your ground. They want to get rid of stand your ground. They don't tell you the part about who uses it or none of that stuff. They don't tell you that because you know why? Because if they had told you that, guess what? If they had told you that, you may not have felt the way you felt after this. I mean, you would have felt the same way. I'm talking about the case I'm talking about. But I'm saying you wouldn't have felt maybe the way you felt during that time or after, knowing that this man really, and they kept putting it to you and saying, look, he didn't use stand your ground. You know what? Black people use stand your ground more than a lot. If nobody came to the defense to say, hey, y'all the ones using it, and here's how they're using it. Had you known that, you would have said what you said months ago. You would have said, oh, okay, that kind of changed. You know what? I wish I did have that law. Instead, We listen. We're being lazy, and we're not listening. We're not doing our own research, and we're listening to people who have agendas, who work in the media, who are pushing it down our throat, and we're going along for a sucker's ride. And then we turn around, we go, that ain't.
I understand what you're saying, and you just said the liberal media, when in fact you just contradicted what you said, because the fact is, there's on both sides of the media, liberal and conservative, they do the same damn thing. They push their agenda. They leave out certain things to match whatever reading or listening or viewing public wants to hear. So it helps their side. So
I agree. Listen to me for this. Okay.
And that's the reason why I don't go to any of these. I don't read the newspaper. I tell you that right now. I don't read the newspaper, and I don't watch CNN, MSNBC, or Fox, because the fact is, all three of those stations right there push their own agenda, twist the words to what they want their viewing audience wants to hear, and same with the print media. So rather than listen to that garbage, because I know it's twisted, I know it's just catering to that listening or that reading audience, I don't want to be bothered with that. I go find out my own information if I want. Because the fact I don't want to hear that, because all they're doing is spewing their side as they see it. And it's all—it's always twisted.
I said the liberal media in the situation with Zimmerman, because the reason why I said liberal media is because I was dealing with a situation where the liberal media who don't like people who didn't like Zimmerman or who were siding with Democrats or people of that ilk who believe the whole thing about the white man is killing the black guy, this and that. They leave out stuff. Same way MSNBC did that one part in there when they got sued. And remember, they got sued and the person won because they doctored a tape about Zimmerman. Had people thinking that Zimmerman said something about, I can't remember what they did. They doctored a tape and they got sued for it. And it was on, and they played it on air. I'm not saying, here's what I'm saying. I know both sides do it because let me be clear. There are radical, fanatical people on Republican and conservative side. Don't get me wrong. I know that.
Mm-hmm.
They're the same on the other side. But I will say this, and you may not agree with me, but I can say this to you. There are a lot more liberals who are radical and have crazy ideas than there are conservatives, and I believe that.
Okay, yeah, because okay, you want to say that? Fine. I'm not even going to argue that, because the fact is that's an argument nobody can win. I can say one thing, you can say another,
exactly.
and we can go back and forth. So
That's why I said that's what I believe. But that's why I made the statement.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So I never said it like that's a fact.
Mm-hmm.
Just what I believe. But I will say this to you in respect to what you just said. I can watch any of those stations. I dip in on all of them. I do watch Fox. But here's the one thing that I like that Fox does that a lot of the other stations that you mentioned don't do. When they mention certain statistics, I can always see the source. Sometimes on MSNBC and CNN, they put out these stats, but they don't tell where you get them from. So usually I can go to the site. For instance, if it's on the CBO, the Congressional Budget Office, I can go to congressionalbudgetoffice.gov, and I can go see that stat. I can look it up and find it and go, yep, that's what it says, or what have you. So I can do my research. So like you said, it's like anything else. I think if you watch the media, I think if you watch the news, it's fine. But you have to go do your own research. That's, I guess, what I'm saying. And the one thing I've learned, because you were witness to this, if you know anything about my page, from the time Trayvon Martin got killed till the trial started and the evidence started coming out, I didn't say a word. I didn't post nothing about Trayvon Martin. I didn't post nothing about Zimmerman. I didn't post I didn't post not anything, and I did it on purpose because I said, everybody out here jumping around, I want to see the evidence. And what I'm learning more and more, even now, still, is to just be patient and say, you know what, don't jump out there with everybody else. Do your research. Find out what the evidence is. Find out what it really looks like. Then make your decision based off the information. Then if the information is, then if it's if you're wrong, you can always come back and say, you know what, my information was wrong. Or I looked at this and that wasn't right.
Let me ask you something then. Since the case has been over, Mr. Zimmerman has been in the news along with his wife. Okay. What do you think now of Mr. George Zimmerman since the case is over?
I think George Zimmerman is feeling is acting out on the effects of all this pressure that's been on him. I'm not giving him an excuse, because wrong is wrong. Do I think he's a bad guy because of that? No. Because if he's not like he's running out killing people, it's not like he's running out sticking people up or doing anything. You know, the same thing that Zimmerman's going through with his wife and everything, the same thing everybody goes through in America. The only difference is his put on TV because he's a celebrity, because he's known. You know, because if you and your wife did the same thing, you wouldn't be on the news. You wouldn't be on there broadcasting you all over the place. Anything that man does is going to be broadcast. If he takes a dump in the middle of the street, they're going to put it on TV. You know, and they're going to examine every piece of the crap that he put out on the ground, and they're going to tell you what it broke down to. And somehow they're going to connect it to Trayvon Martin and to a gun. So my thing is, do I think he's smart? No. Do I think he's stupid? Sure. Yeah, I think he's kind of stupid to do certain things, but he hasn't broken the law. Did he get mad at his wife and they had it out? Sure. He's getting a divorce from his wife? Absolutely. Do I think he's a bad guy? No, I think he's like anybody else. But I also think, let me say this to you, but remember what he looked like when he first killed Trayvon Martin, and what he looked like when he came in that courtroom. And you tell me that ain't no pressure? That man ate himself out of house and home. That man was big as I don't know what. I know he was past 300 pounds. And then you get off. But then when you get off, remember, you have to live in a prison for the rest of your life. You can't go just any old where you want. George Zimmerman does, but I'm pretty sure he got a gun. Pretty sure he's apprehensive about people and what they're looking and saying about him. I'm pretty sure he doesn't feel comfortable most places outside of his home. I'm just saying, there are a lot of things you're gonna get, and I don't think like I said, I feel sorry for the guy just like I feel sorry for Trayvon Martin's parents, because it was simply put, my wife put it best. She said the whole thing was a tragedy, period, for both people. One's gone, one's here. Neither one are where they want to be, and they're not enjoying whatever the result. He's not here to enjoy his life, and Zimmerman's not enjoying his life. Zimmerman's not happy, and I knew he wasn't going to be happy. I knew he'd be happy he got off. He ain't going to spend his time in jail, but he's still in jail. Because he's out here with all these kooks and nuts and the people who don't like him, you know. And, you know, that's, and guess what? That's a result of his choice. Do I feel sorry for Zimmerman? A little bit. But, you know, he made a choice. If I make a choice to go do something, I got to live with the consequence, just like he do. It's no different from anybody else. So what do I think about it? I think he's a man who's living life and has troubles just like everybody else. It's like Floyd Mayweather's father told me. He said, All sons and fathers fight. The difference is mine on TV. So everybody thought it was so horrible. He said, if everybody act like their sons don't cuss them out or get mad when they grown and have it out sometimes. He said it happened. So, you know, that's pretty much my thought on Zimmerman. You know, I don't think it has anything to do with George Zimmerman or anything like, oh, because he did this, you know, that has some kind of bearing on this or that. I mean, it's life. You know, he's dealing with life just like the rest of us, man. And sometimes you just can't lash out and do things, you know, you shouldn't do. But he hasn't broken the law, hasn't ended up in jail. So, you know, I can't fault him. But, you know, the only thing, like I said, I'm glad I at least put some information out there that you could see and, I've always said that when I found that out and I knew that about Standing Ground, I said, shoot, I want this law. You know, I was growing up in Detroit, I wanted that law. Man, what? You mean I can stand my ground and actually say, nah, man, ain't going nowhere, dude. You gonna leave me alone or whatever? You know.
My question is this: does Stand Your Ground pertain to shooting someone, or if you have an object that you hit someone with it to protect yourself? Does it just pertain
From what I've looked at, it's protecting yourself with a weapon or whatever you do. It's basically you can stand your ground. You don't have to run. That's my point. If you can defend yourself, if you want to defend yourself, you defend yourself. You don't have somebody's threatening you or is a threat to you. See, that's where the whole thing comes in. You have to prove your case that this person was threatening you.
Mm-hmm.
This person was threatening your life, or threatening you bodily, or what have you, and I don't think it matters. I think if I took a shoe and beat the hell out of a guy, I think it wouldn't matter. I think it's just about you stand your ground. This guy came at me. See, because if you really think about it, that's what really this was all about. Is that once Trayvon hit Zimmerman, it was on. Because then it was at that point. That's where the whole thing of stand your ground came from. Because he did something to him.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I think that's what it is. It's the whole thing of proving what happened. Were you at the wrong or were you at right? Were you protecting yourself or were you just acting out? You know, and you have to prove the other guy was a threat. You know,
right.
Like they said. So think about, because really, wait a minute. Because think about it. This kid got off, and the dude didn't even have a gun, but he looked like he was gonna have one. So I just, mm-hmm. like I said, it may be a matter of who you got as a jury, who you got as a judge, what's admissible and not. I mean, I think it's a lot of variables, but I know that it's based on if the guy was a threat. And
sure.
you're talking about at 3 in the morning, you and your father out delivering papers or doing something, and the guy come out talking about you straight and then start reaching in his pocket, I would have thought the same thing.
Sure, absolutely.
You know
yeah,
what
well,
I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand that. I mean, you know, it's that night, 3 o'clock in the morning.
I'm gonna do more. Go ahead.
Go ahead. If 3 o'clock in the morning and a guy comes up to you and says you straight, and all of a sudden he reaches in his pocket, hey,
exactly.
You know, he's not reaching in his pocket to give you some money. You know, he's not reaching in his pocket to tell you what time
right.
it is.
Right.
You know, he's not reaching in your
right.
pocket 3 o'clock
right.
in the morning after he just tell you are you straight. That whatever comes out of his pocket,
right.
you're not thinking
may
it's going
not
to be something
right.
that's
exactly.
favorable to your well-being. So I understand
right.
something like that.
Yeah, because remember, he said you straight, which is a common language for do you need something? Do you need some
mm-hmm.
like drugs? Do you need something? So he's
mm-hmm.
probably reaching in to get the drugs. But,
mm-hmm.
but think about it. If you don't understand that jargon, you straight, and you go reach in your pocket, I don't know what's going on. And remember, at 3 o'clock in the morning, it ain't daylight.
No,
it's
hell
not
no.
daylight
hell
at 3
no.
in the morning.
Hell no.
Summer or winter, it ain't light.
Yeah.
At 3 in the morning. So, I mean, you know, like you said, it's understandable to do that. And like I said, he got off on that, even though they didn't find a weapon.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. But again, they probably thought like you did. The jury, whoever was judged, that probably thought like you did. Like, shoot, 3 a.m, I'm sitting here like that. Man, bump that. I might have did the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty sure that
mm-hmm.
the gun he had was legal, because you're pretty sure he couldn't have shot it with an illegal gun, because I don't care whether he's standing ground or lie. He probably would have gotten in trouble for that. So obviously
exactly.
the kid, whoever shot him, had a legal gun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so like I said, my thing is, all I'm saying to you is that before we as African Americans want to shove a law, let's do our research and look at it and figure out what the law really is. Which, to be honest with you, I don't care whether you were liberal media, conservative media, right wing, left wing, whatever it was, none of the media broke down what the law really meant, what it really was. And people just casually said, oh, it's this. Oh, yeah, it means this. But nobody took the time to formally break that law down and say, here's what it means, here's what it is, and here's it. And, you know, didn't even give the statistics about, because I really wonder, once I, you know, looked at the information in the article, I really wonder if everybody had really known this, would they have felt the way they felt? You know, people probably still would have felt the same way.
People probably felt the same way because it was such a high profile case, plus the fact
right.
it was a white Hispanic against a black teenager. So
right.
they just naturally assumed, and quite naturally it's not, everybody just forgot.
Like people were just so pissed off, they didn't think about the stand your ground law wasn't used in the case. You know, and I just think, you know how one of those things like you're pissed off and you want to hit somebody?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So the first person to come along, you think you need to just punch them in the face because that's what you
mm-hmm.
go after, because you just want to feel good, or you just want to
mm-hmm.
feel like you got some justice somewhere. And I really think that's what it was. It was just like, let's go after the law. And I'm sitting there the whole time going like, why are y'all going after the law when the law wasn't even in the case? Like, I understand y'all being pissed off, but why y'all going after the law? Because I knew that from the beginning. I was like, why y'all going? I'm Holder. I'm like, do you understand? I guess the thing that was funniest to me was that Eric Holder, who of course is a lawyer, who of course is in the highest of justice, you know, in the Justice Department, runs the Justice Department, like, dude, you didn't realize that this was not about stand your ground? Like, the first thing you should have said was stand your ground wasn't used in the case. So why are we doing it? But of course, you know, Eric Holder had to go along with it or try to do. I knew he wasn't stupid enough to try to push the issue because, I knew he wasn't going to go down there and investigate Zimmerman or reopen the case about all that stuff because the FBI had already did it. He knew he couldn't do it. I knew he couldn't do it. But I knew Holder didn't. He said, yeah, I'm going to do it. And I knew he wasn't going to do it because I was like, the FBI already went down there and did the investigation. There wasn't no racism. I'm just saying, as far as they were concerned, there wasn't anything on it. They thoroughly investigated. without holding her, and went down and came back and said, look, we can't find nobody to say the dude racist, you know, whatever, whatever. So I knew he wasn't, you know, but, you know, I think what Holder did was he just waited till it died down, which it did, you know, and everybody went back to their life. You know, so with that being said, man, you know, it's been a good first show.
Same here.
We didn't tear each other up. We had a good laugh. We got some good information. We didn't, you know, Victor, I probably would have been through the phone by now like, I'm going to choke you. But, you know, that's not my man. Me and him can have a real good talk.
Well, I think I'm pretty level-headed, man. So, I mean, it's
no,
not
you
like...
are. And like I said, I don't know if I would have got the same out of Mikhail, and I'm not sure if I got the same out of Victor.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just not sure I would have got the same thing because they would have fought me tooth and nail. Like, no, but I'd be like, dude, if y'all present me with something and I know and I look at it and I see it's right, I'm going to be like, yeah, all right, you got me. You know, hey, you know what, you're right about that. Because that's what this show, that's what I want my show to be about. It's about bringing opinions, bringing points and saying, look at this. And people saying, you know what, I didn't know that. Because I'm going to tell you, I got to give you kudos because I was actually shocked. Not to say you're not a level-headed guy, but I was actually shocked that you actually said, you know what, I would want that law. Knowing that, I would want that law. And I was like, wow. Like,
yep.
I didn't expect that out of you. I expected you to say, okay,
yeah.
I get it. But a lot of black people wouldn't have said that because they would have
said,
I
got to stay consistent, man. I can't be hypocritical. If it's a law that's going to benefit everyone and
right.
it's statistically benefiting African Americans more, and it's by a slight margin, but it's still benefiting African Americans more than it's benefiting anyone else. Let me finish my thought, because and even if it wasn't benefiting us at the majority of the time, but it's benefiting everyone, then
right.
it's only right that law should be.
Right.
In effect, but it's got to be closely monitored to make sure
Absolutely.
It's doing the right thing versus working adversely toward a certain group of people. You follow me when I'm saying
right.
that?
No. And I agree with that. I agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, had they said, you know what, we want you guys to monitor this and do that, I'd have been behind that. I'd be like, okay, I get that. I got that.
Mm-hmm.
You should monitor it. You know,
mm-hmm.
just like I said, but, you know, just like I don't understand, you know, like I said, I just think we just need, like I said, even if the numbers were reversed and it wasn't to our advantage, the fact is, you know, even if it was 40% and the whites were 35%, you know, 55%, I still would have said, you know what, it's benefiting somebody. But see, more than anything, in this day and age where we are killing each other, we need to also protect each. We also need to protect ourselves, even if it's from us. And that's where I was kind of saying, like, this is the kind of law we need, because to be honest with you, I never grew up with a law knowing there was a law like this. Not saying it was but I'm just saying, you never had to stand your ground. You had to. I remember when I was coming up, you had to prove self-defense. Like, you really had to prove, like, this, that. This is kind of a mechanism. But remember what the article said. Even if you lose to stand your ground, you don't get it, you still get a chance to put your evidence, to flesh out the case against you.
Mm-hmm.
You get to show things and see what the prosecution has on, you get them to show their hand.
Right.
So then even if you lose, you can go into the case, you go into the court case, because, see, that's before the court case. If you go into the court case, now you know, okay, now I know where they're going. Now we can go ahead and try to fight this, even if you're right. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So
that's
why I said these are the things these are the things that I wish, you know, the media would put out instead of always saying, well, you know, siding with the people who are pissed off. I'm like, man, come on, man, give us something that to make us understand what it is, you know. And I just felt like we were being duped because we're sitting here getting mad, talking about we ain't going down to Florida, we boycotting till they change the law. And I'm sitting there going like, but the law is benefiting y'all, though. It's benefiting us. Like, don't y'all want a rule that gives you the right to stand up and whether you bear arms or not, it gives you a chance. You know, even if you go, I mean, think about it. If you bare knuckle and you hit a dude, knock his head off the concrete, and he died, you got a way out. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You got something to work with instead of nothing.
Right.
Because guess what? A black man needs everything he can get to work with.
Exactly. You know, I'm real surprised you said that, man.
No.
Wow. Yeah.
But see, I've always told y'all, man, here's my thing. This is my last thing I'm going to say.
Okay.
I am not against my people, but
mm-hmm.
I feel like I need to say things. I think it's my job sometimes to air our dirty laundry and call it what it is, even if it's not popular, even if it makes us feel uncomfortable, even if people get mad, get upset. The truth
mm-hmm.
has to be said, and I just think sometimes we have to deal with our own crap. But at the same time, don't ever get it twisted, and this is for all the listeners, don't ever get it twisted and think that I don't know there's racism. I know there are people out here who don't like me simply because I'm black, period. No matter how nice I talk, no matter how good I talk, no matter what I dress in, I can dress in a professional suit, still don't like me. I know that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know there's racism. I know people follow us through the store because they don't like us, because they feel like we're going to steal something because we're black. I know that. But the difference is with me is that half of that stuff don't bother me, because my belief has always been, as long as you don't put your hands on me, as long as you don't invade my space, you can do what you want to do, because I have a choice. Either I can buy in your store or I can leave. I can buy and make you look like a buffoon and buy more than what you thought, and I had money. Oops. You know, or, you know, I mean, there's many, you know, just like with the whole thing about, you know, I believe the same things, a lot of the same things about whites and blacks that you and Vic do. The difference is I don't apply it to everything. Every time
mm-hmm.
it's a white guy and it's me, I don't think racism. Every time certain things happen, I think about it and say, why did that happen? And I think about it before I just say, oh, man, that cracker did that because I was black. But I know friends and family and people that go around all day, every day, and every time it's somebody who's not black, it's like, oh, he did it because he raced, or, oh, he did it because they planned this, and I'm just like, dude, I'm not going to that stuff, you know? I'm just a person who's willing. I feel it's a sad existence to walk around and always worry about some conspiracy or white people doing something to me, or things not, life not being fair, things aren't fair in America, oh, it's so bad, the white people are after us, they're all running around in trucks going to try to kill us, they're out here for our teenagers, like they're monsters, they're going to eat us, and I just can't live my life like that. I have to live my life knowing what I know, but I need to apply it when I see it and when I know it. I'm not going to apply it just because 15 other people have convinced me of that, and I go, okay, but I really don't believe that and really don't know. But I'm going with
mm-hmm.
the crowd because that's what I feel. I can't do that. So that's why I said to you, I know that a black man can get a bad raw trial and a raw deal. We black people need that, because we need the opportunity and the vehicle to try to defend ourselves and our behavior and what we did if we are right. But if we're not right, we don't need that vehicle. But I'm just saying, the court system, do I believe the court system in America is unfair? No. Do I believe judges are? Yes. Do I believe lawyers are? Yes. Do I believe prosecutors are? Yes. I don't believe the court system as a whole is unfair. I think that people are unfair. Just like guns don't kill people by themselves, but people kill, using guns in the wrong way, kill people. So saying that you don't want to get rid of guns is stupid, because the gun by itself, I lock it away in my safe and nobody ever touches it, they don't do nothing to nobody. They don't get up legs, they don't walk, they don't do nothing. So to be against people having them is wrong. What you need to do is start dealing with, just like the Navy Yard thing showed you, we need to start dealing with our people, and we need to start dealing with people's mental situations. We need to stop sitting around. This is what's wrong with this society. This is actually absolutely my last thing. We have to stop. When people, Jerry, are sick, you know what I'm noticing about everybody who does this crazy stuff like the Navy Yard thing? They
mm-hmm.
always have a record. These aren't people that come out the blue and like, damn, he just flicked off one day. You always find out they had weapons. You come in there and they had guns, and people knew. People knew these people were crackpots. They knew something was wrong with them, but never said anything, never did anything. And you know what's wrong with our society? Our society doesn't want to hurt nobody's feelings. Our society doesn't want to lock nobody up. our society don't want to get a lawsuit and don't want to piss people off and don't want to be perceived as mean or we're picking on a person or we're just being horrible. Because let me tell you something. That dude at the Navy Yard should have had his black ass in a mental institution somewhere getting help. Seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Because the record was long with that dude. That dude, just like the guy from the Fort Hood joint, he should have had his radical ass crazy behind in some place getting help.
Right.
And all these records, what do you find out after, Jerry? Oh, he had a record of mental abuse. He had a record of having guns. Somebody wrote him up for throwing darts at someone. You know, you always hear all these craziest deviant stuff, and it's like people just blow it off like, oh, I'm not going to say anything. Let's just write them up and just let them go. And then one day when they decide they don't get their coffee or one day when they decide they're planning something, they come in there and just flick off and kill innocent people. Guess what MSNBC, CNN, and the other knucklehead MSNBC, guess what they all said? All they attributed to, all they talked about was the FR, whatever gun it was, and that wasn't even the gun he used. They sitting there reporting on he had a gun that he didn't even use, that wasn't even the right gun, and then they make it about the gun, about gun control. Again, they're pressing the issue, let's make it about guns. It ain't about guns. Dude was crazy. If you had put a knife in his hand, he'd have did the same thing. He'd have went in there and stabbed people. If you had given him a rake, he would have went in there and beat the hell out of people with rakes. It's not the weapon by itself. It's people. And until we stop pussyfooting around, writing up people and throwing them off to the side and throwing the responsibility of them onto somebody else, we're going to keep having these incidents. Remember back in the 80s and 90s, what was it? Going postal. Remember that?
Mm-hmm, sure.
Remember? It was going postal because the post people was flipping out. Now it's not funny anymore. It's not just postal anymore. Now it's something wrong with these people. So with that being said, we end another radio show. We'll try to do better next time without me having to be disconnected and all that stuff.
It's okay.
In the meantime, Jerry, I appreciate you being here. I'm glad to be back, man. I miss
you. Good to be back, man.
Show. And we got some great guests coming up. Please go to our Facebook page, No Chaser with Mac Williams, and like the show. Please listen to Jerry on his show. Will you tell everybody what your show is and what days and what time?
Sunday morning. It's mainly a sports show. Mainly has to do with fantasy, at this time of year, fantasy football. It's called The Master Plan. 10 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
Eastern Standard Time. You want to call in, it's the same number as if you call in to this show, 347-637-3220. Try to give out as much good information as I possibly can to help you if you're a fantasy football player, help you week to week in your fantasy matchups.
Yeah, I mean, y'all got to go over there. If I was running a fantasy this year, I'd sure be like, okay, Jerry, I need to know who am I picking and who am I putting in. In fact, you know, I'm going to let all y'all know, if I ever have a fantasy football again, I haven't had one since last year, but if I ever have another fantasy, I'm letting Jerry pick, damn it. I'm just like, man, give me my card, man. Just make my card out, dog. I'll just pick according to what you say. But like I said, it's, you know, it's The Master Plan, Sundays 10 a.m. Please tune in if you don't have your behind in church. If you have it in church, that's great too. But if not, listen to The Master Plan, definitely. And we have some great guests coming up. The professor coming back on. The professor's coming back on in November when he gets back from China, where he'll be there for 5 weeks. I was like, dude, I can't eat rice for 5 weeks. And this weekend, I just want to give a shout out to my man, Baby Shaq, who is going down for the third time tonight. He's traveling to King of the Rock in Alcatraz to try to win that money for a third time to defend his championship. Get that 20 grand, brother, and come home and bring it. All I want is a steak. You can have the rest. and we also got a new clothing line CEO that I met during the summer called Don't Be a Bama. They're going to be on our show actually next Friday. So we'll have a guest next Friday, Jerry.
Okay.
And so, like I said, I'll post out all that stuff. As we get guests, I'll put out the promos. We'll get them out to you out on our Facebook page. So until then, we will see you next week. Have a great week, everybody. God bless you, and we will see you next week. See you, Jerry.
See ya. Oh, boy.
I love our show. Always great. Nobody can ever say live radio ain't.
I'm telling you.
It won't come on.
No, it won't come on. But that's okay.
But that's okay. We're out. Thanks, Jerry. I'll see you next week, brother.
Right.
All right. Peace.
All right.